Good morning, Emmanuel. And welcome to our morning worship today. A special welcome to those who will be listening to the service as a part of our recorded ministry. For whatever reason you're listening at home, we do hope you'll be uplifted and refreshed by the next 40 minutes or so and feel closer to the fellowship worshipping here this morning at Emmanuel. In terms of our notices today, they're all in our weekly news sheet, but there's one additional one. Perhaps you'd like to note that next Sunday, the Songs of Praise on BBC One will feature the Reverend John Bradbury, who is the new General Secretary of the URC, as well as an interview with Steve Tompkins, who's the editor of the Reform magazine. The programme is celebrating the 400th anniversary of the sailing of the Mayflower, the ship on which took the Pilgrim Fathers off from Europe to the New World. It should be an interesting programme to watch. I think it's just after lunchtime next Sunday. And a reminder in terms of when you leave the church this morning, we're no longer using the additional exit. We're going out the way we came in. We've decided it is safe because you're not going to meet somebody coming in the opposite direction at the end of the service. Our service this morning is being conducted by our minister, Reverend Robert Jordan. The prayers of intercession have been written by John Blakesley, and they're going to be read by David Leadbeater. And I shall be reading this morning's lesson from the letter of Paul to the Romans. That's me, Steve Brain. And now we'll have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning and welcome, all of you. This shall be a day of remembrance, a celebration to the Lord. And we gather for worship to celebrate, to remember, to give thanks to God because he has chosen to be with his people. And we celebrate this by following the words of the hymns, by listening and following the words of the reading by our reflection and our prayer. And when we leave, by living that which God has taught us about this day. May the grace and the peace of God be with us here today, with God's people everywhere, now and forevermore. Amen. We follow the hymns as they are printed on the order of service, and today it's Wells Cathedral Choir that will be leading us in the singing. Tell out my soul.
Thank you.
a week, a month, 5 months, a time where many things have happened. The easy, the fun, particularly the complicated and the difficult. And when we light this first candle at the service here, it's a sign of light shining on that which has not been easy, which we give to God. We share a time of prayer that we will end softly saying the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. We come to you, dear God, the God of many names, merciful, loving, Father, caring, risk-taking God. The wonders of your creation, the splendor of the heavens, the beauty of the earth, the richness of nature, all speaks of your glory. The coming of your Son, the presence of your Spirit, the fellowship of the church, all show the marvel of your love. We worship and we adore you, because you have called us to be part of this, to care, to love, to recognize each other. We come to you. But we also bring the burden of our wrongdoings. We come to you, the God of mercy and God of love. We come humble to confess our sins, that it is too easy to forget you, that we find excuses not to serve you, that we wander from your ways, that we are careless with your creation, and in different ways put life in danger. We talk of our concern for others, but we recognize that we don't always put into action that concern, that love. Have mercy on us. Forgive us. Restore us. heal us, make us new. Remind us of your presence. When we are afraid, give us courage. When we are tempted, help us resist. When we are anxious, give us your peace. When we are weary, fill us with your power. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, who taught us to pray. And we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Steve will now lead us in the reading.
The reading this morning comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us live honourably as in the day, not in revelling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarrelling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
If you feel able to, I'd invite you to stand for a few seconds before we say the grace together, a time where we can take into account what has just been said, what word has touched our hearts, what thought has meant something to us, and after a few moments of silence, we share the grace together. The grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. I know that some of you in the congregation are followers of the devotional notes of, what's it called, Di? The word, oh, I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about, the books that we have here. And for the last two or three weeks, they've been following the letter to the Romans, and a number of people have said to me, I can't make head or tail of this. To all I can say is amen. Welcome to the club. Paul is complicated, until he isn't. But his grammar is not our grammar, and he forgets to put a comma or a full stop, and he goes on and on and on. And if you're trying to read that with one breath under COVID-19 and you've got a mask on, you lose your breath in the middle and your will to live. But let's be honest, he also has a theology which often is very difficult to grasp. And I am grateful that the reading for this week begins just after one of his most complicated readings, which is Romans 13, the first seven verses. But then suddenly he comes up with something that you can say, you've got it, you've nailed it with this. And the reading today is such a reading. A reading that takes us beyond ourselves and to consider the wider world. A reading that is not difficult to say amen to. Where is this wider world? Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. They weren't a large group. It was the heart of the empire. To them, the world was a dangerous place, not a welcoming place. It reminds us of the basic unity of our faith, our neighbor. And if you want to discuss who the neighbor is, Jesus was pretty clear on that. Go back to the Good Samaritan, go back to Matthew 25. You got a pretty good idea of what he's talking about there. If anything, that's your homework for the week, if you don't remember the texts. Through faith, love becomes actions. To love is to work for people's good, not their harm, says Paul, in the middle of a hostile empire that is out to exterminate them. This is how we will be looked at and how we can analyze what goes on around us. So we should be recognized by our love to all. And as we will see in a few moments, there are times when I have felt ashamed for the world to know that I am a Christian, if being a Christian is like some people feel that being a Christian should be. But sometimes I say, that's not it. I had a professor, first year of theological college, and I remember clearly when he said, when people I meet or meet me on the road and say, I can't believe in God. Next question was why? Because this, this, and this. And he turned around and said to them, I don't believe in that God either. And I found that a helpful answer. I will expand in a few moments. On the internet this week, I saw this T-shirt. And it was absolutely fantastic. It was printed and it said, love thy neighbor. I'm not inventing this. It's not an example that I'm inventing. I saw it on internet this week. Love thy neighbor. And then it had written, thy homeless neighbor, thy Jewish neighbor, thy black neighbor, thy gay neighbor, thy undocumented neighbor, thy white neighbor, the transgender neighbor, the Christian neighbor, the HIV positive neighbor, the racist neighbor, the atheist neighbor, the addicted neighbor, thy imprisoned neighbor, thy disabled neighbor, thy Muslim neighbor. And they'd run out of space. But you get the idea. Some of those are easy neighbors. and some of them have definitely complicated neighbours. Now, where would we fit on the T-shirt that our neighbour had if it included us? It doesn't say love the easy neighbour. It talks about all neighbours. And if you have any doubt, there is an answer to who is our neighbour there. In the light of that, this week I have looked particularly for this morning in incidents that appeared in the news that I want to share with you. Based on verse 10 of the reading that says, love does no wrong to your neighbour. Some of you, or lots of you, or all of you have heard of Kenosha, that little town in the United States of America where a black man got 7 bullets through his back who was paralyzed. And then the next day, a 17-year-old came out with his automatic machine gun, murdered 2, and wounded somebody else. That is the news. What didn't get to the news was that a Christian group set up a funding campaign to support the young man, not the wounded black man, the shooter, the 17-year-old who murdered 2 and wounded another, so that he could go to a comfortable place and pay for any lawsuit he had. That is when I become ashamed to say I'm a Christian, if that's what being a Christian is. Who is the neighbor here? You have probably read or heard many times of Britain First. I don't often mention them, but protesters this week stormed hotels housing asylum seekers, expelled from the hotels, frightening those who were protecting them. Who is the neighbor? We've read of anti-everything protesters, anti-quarantine, anti-vaccine, anti-immigration, anti-gun laws, anti-face mask, anti-whatever. They've been all over the place. They've been in London. They've been in Berlin. They've been in many states of the USA. They've been in Asunción in Paraguay. They've been in Buenos Aires. They have put thousands at risk. Who is their neighbor? This Thursday on Channel 5, when I got home from the elders' meeting, I saw this program called Racism, My Story. It was horrifying. It was shocking. It was a British program with a number of people that you know well telling their story and how their story had been hit and pained and destroyed by many people who would call themselves good people. Again, one of those programs that puts many people to shame. And then, in the midst of all this, last Sunday, just before I left, a member of the congregation shared, there was 2 of us there, a short story that she had on her phone. A car left in a car park. The owner had forgotten to close the window of the car and had stayed there for a few days, a week, I think the story said, and it began to rain. Somebody saw this, taped the window up so that the rain wouldn't get into the car, and wrote a note saying, look, to the words of, the window was open, there was nothing I could do, taped it up. And the story ends by saying this woman sat in the car and cried. Who is the neighbor? Do no harm to your neighbor. Not the neighbor we love, the neighbor we don't know, not the neighbor we agree with. On that T-shirt, it even had things that we would reject. Love the racist. Do you love a racist? It doesn't mean to say you agree with them. Love that does good to our neighbor isn't always a big, notorious act. Sometimes it's a small, generous, anonymous act. But let us also realize Christians do not hold the monopoly of love. Sometimes we deny it. And sometimes we are taught what love really is by other people, the people who surprise us, the people we would say, I wouldn't expect so-and-so to do it. But love of our neighbor has to be the mark of our faith. And we have to have the eyes and the heart to recognize that love comes in many shapes, in many forms, and by the most surprising of people. It is there. We get so used to seeing the other that I think the challenge we have before us at this time, particularly at this time, is to rescue those small acts of love. Yesterday, somebody shared three lines, and it said, we can retrain our brain connections to bring out the best. Before you fall asleep, think of three things that have made you happy and made you a better person today. I got to two yesterday. I owe myself, and I owe the world at least one other. That's how we can retrain our brain and our actions. Our faith defines us to the future, not to the past. We can't change the past. That's where we trust God's grace. That's the example of the candle we light, the first one. But it is through that love that does not harm the neighbor that the world will become the better place we want it to be and need it to be. This is how we are called to live. Paul, in another letter, better known than this one, said, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of them is love. So Paul can be complicated, but he does have a thread running through his readings. To this we can add, love does not wrong our neighbor. It is the fulfilling of the law. So as Jesus said, let us go and do the same. Stephen Tompkins, who's the editor of Reform magazine, and this comes from the latest edition of Reform, writes an article. He's just written a book on the Mayflower. And this is the last paragraph of the article in the Reform magazine. Jesus taught that greatness in God's kingdom is seen in exercising not power, but love. Not in domination, but in service. Those who rediscover that upside-down vision and its challenge for their own day tend to face trouble. They are trouble, even perhaps, for the church. Love our neighbor, and we don't get to choose. Amen. This is where last week I forgot to light the red candle. And a number of people pointed it out. The red candle is the candle that after our reflection speaks to us of what we would like for the week ahead. Before we dedicate the offering, I'd just like to point out two things. It's one thing with 2 points. Elders meeting on Thursday agreed, and it will be coming out in the next weekly news, that we will be having the harvest appeal in the month of October. The united cause of the harvest appeal this year would have been something the partnership had. For obvious reasons, it's not happening, but we are going to have an appeal because we are very low on funds, and we expect the next 12 months to claim those funds in many things that will be happening once restrictions the world round ease a bit. And as you can see in the news today, forest fires are already 2 or 3 apiece, and those things are going to need our help as a church. But we have to bring it forward just a little bit, because the United Reformed Church has become part of an appeal for Beirut. And so there's an envelope. The envelopes are at the back for you to take into account. And one of them is disaster appeal, which is sort of bringing the harvest appeal a little bit forward, because those the Beirut appeal has to be in the church URC by the 25th of September. And the URC will cover pound for pound out of their own funds for the Beirut appeal. So that's why we're bringing it a bit forward, but that's for the disaster appeal. But the gift aid envelopes for our traditional harvest appeal will be available as well, but that is running all the month of October. If I'm not being too clear, as probably is the case, ask me on the way out or ask any of the World Concerns committee. And now we dedicate what we have and what we have given. Loving and caring God, what we received comes from you. What we give will be directed by you. Who we are, what we have, everything is yours, that it may shine light on this world of what loving neighbor is all about. Amen. And now our prayer of intercession.
As Stephen has said, the prayers of intercession today were written for us by John Blakesley under the heading, Love is the Fulfilling the Law. Let us pray. You have a minute, Lord? We come together in order to share our prayers, either here in church, at home, listening into recording, or reading our newsletter. We have made our private prayers in the past weeks. Let this be the opportunity to share our common prayer for ourselves, our families, our church, our minister, our elders, and all those making decisions for our well-being. Guide us in deciding what is the safest and right actions to take during this COVID pandemic. We pray especially at this time for our younger people and their teachers returning to schools and colleges. Help us to remember, Lord, that although unseen, we have your love as well as each other's love, even if not in the physical presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all those who are brought low, that we may find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love and that of Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessed be the Father and the God of our Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen.
Thank you, John, and thank you, David, for stepping in. Our next hymn to follow, based on the other reading of Paul about love, the one that you know better, but the words fit so much for the reading today. Again, from Wells Cathedral Choir, Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost. Like to stand for the blessing. These words are taken from the closing of the Synod Moderator's letter, the September letter. It's part of a song written by Paul Field. Go peacefully in gentleness through the violence of these days. Give freely, show tenderness in all your ways. Through darkness, in troubled times, let holiness be your aim. Seek wisdom. Let faithfulness burn like a flame. God speed you, God lead you, and keep you wrapped around his heart. May you be known by love. Be righteous, speak truthfully in a world of greed and lies. Show kindness, see everyone through heaven's eyes. God hold you, enfold you, and keep you wrapped around his heart. May you be known by love. God speed you. God lead you, and keep you wrapped around his heart. May you be known by love. May you be known by love. And in that love, peace, grace to you and to this world, this day and forevermore. Amen.